Blog Talk Radio.
May the moment I found the truth that we were the real Jews, the real Hebrew Israelites, that the Most High loved us more than any other nation, the ones living in the ghettos and the slums. You could thought we were forsaken, but we were chosen. They said we were the Gentiles. Most High came into my spirit and showed me who I was. Listen.
The moment I found the truth, I fell in love. That I cried all night over the scripture. Cried, that I didn't know that a higher love does this much. I fell down on my knees and gave thanks for all of his love and mercy.
The moment I found the truth, I fell in love.
Broke down again. Said he circumcised my heart that night. Said it felt so real, felt so real. Now my spirit can live. Now my spirit.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome once again to another edition of the Hebrew Israelite Elders Nation Show. Tonight we're going to talk about woe to you who do unrighteous acts and praise and honor lies. Again, that is woe to you who do unrighteous acts and praise and honor lies. Our scripture is taken from the book of Enoch, chapter 99, verse 1, and it reads as follows. Woe to you who do unrighteous acts, praise and honor lies. You shall perish, and no happy life shall be yours. Tonight, we have with us Elder Yael and myself, Elder Uliah. We're going to be with you for about an hour. So with no further ado, we're going to bring Elder Yael on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
All right, all right. Hallelujah. To the Elder for that introduction and the scripture reading tonight. We're going to come to you tonight with some, we're just kind of following up on what we started, you know, last week and the week before, because we see so much going on. You see what the scripture is saying. Woe to those, you know, who do unrighteous acts, you see. And the thing is, really what's really something about this is we our people are doing these different unrighteous acts, and they're enjoying getting pleasure out of them, you know. And so this is what we want to kind of see and look at how y'all feel about this thing, okay? Because it's some ugly stuff going on out there, you know. And but we do kind of want to kind of think back a little bit, you know, because we are in this Babylonian captivity. Now, this is not an excuse to for us to be doing sin and stuff just because we're in this Babylonian, because I know sometimes we find ourselves using it as an excuse because we're still in captivity. Well, hey, you know, we could just kind of, hey, so, well, we can't do certain things and so forth. But, you know, you can be obedient to your word even in this captivity, all right? Talk to our people now. And so that's why we are bringing these messages each week to you, because we definitely want to make sure you don't misunderstand anything out here concerning Yah and Yahushua, and think that just because of the situation we're in, you know, we can use those as excuses, you know. And you know, it's kind of like what I was saying speaking about even this Christmas celebration that everybody is doing this time of the year, you know. I saw a program, well, in fact, I was looking at the news, and they were some Gentile guy. He was kind of rebuking the lies that they tell to their children concerning this Santa Claus, you know. And I noticed as he was rebuking it, the only thing they could do come back with at him with is, well, you just trying to steal the fun from the children. You see, so what they have done, they have made themselves an excuse to hide behind, you see, to give them an excuse to be following this this idol worship and all of this stuff that is going contrary to the word of Yah, okay? This Christmas celebration, and it is a lie when you're going to tell your child, you know, that Santa Claus is this and Santa Claus is that, and he brings you gifts, he do all of these things, he can do all these, see you and everything. You know, you're just kind of making him just an idol, a god, you see, because they tell you he sees you at night, he sees you at night, you know, that's all of this stuff is about Santa Claus. It is a lot. So the Gentile that was trying to bring that out, he was absolutely right. But these other Gentiles that was, you know, couldn't handle it, you know, they had to get up there and just talk. It's like they just put him down. And, you know, you just taking the fun away from our children. You know, that's what we just can't do that to our children. You know, right, they look forward to all of this stuff, you know. But, you know, regardless of all of that, what they're using as an excuse, I'm still sticking with the scripture, because the scripture tells us, you know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We brought that out last week. That's John chapter 8, verse 32, you see. So we're not to be making excuses to hide behind just to celebrate this stuff ourselves, you know. And so that's what we are trying to make sure we, you know, don't allow that to happen to us, because, you know, now the thing is, what we're going to be dealing with tonight is we're dealing with some real stuff here, because let me tell you something. We're talking about a lot of perverted things that are going on. A lot of people are carrying themselves in perverted ways. They are committing acts of perversion, you know, sexual perversion, and they're getting pleasure out of this thing. You know, and as I was looking a little bit this week, I noticed that I thought about it. I thought about what a friend of mine's that I know, I used to know, she passed on now, but about 15 or 16 years ago, you know, and she was living right over there in Atlanta. And she was, I think she was even hired or something to teach the children, you see. And to her surprise, I mean, she was just for it. I mean, she just kind of walked away from it, I believe, if I remember correctly, because, man, she was upset to even have to go over this stuff with us. It's what they are making the teachers out there teach our young children, teach our kids, okay? And this stuff here is no joke. They are teaching stuff to our kids, and they making sure that they also have the kids make sure that teach them they don't have to share this with your parents. And, you know, it's almost like they kind of teach it in a way where they're making sure that you don't go telling your parents this, you know. And the things that they are teaching, I mean, let me just look at a question here that is in part of their curriculum with this stuff. One question is asked, how do people express their sexual feelings? You see, now this is a question really all the way down to a little 0 to 4 year old kid, okay? And each stage of ages, they got a different higher level that they come into about this perversion, okay? And so the class, actually the kids end up in the class, they've been taught some crazy stuff. We're talking about oral sex. They're teaching them about that and giving them answers like how do you express? Well, they said oral sex is one. Caressing, you know, this is what they're, it's okay for the kids to do these things at a young age. You know, we're talking about less than 10 years old child is being taught this kind of stupidity, this kind of perversion. And so basically what it's doing is they are infecting our kids. And now when I think about it, they've been doing this for a long time. And now we are in a time now where a lot of these young people, ox and occultees that we see and that we see doing these different things, dating, going through the changes, you know, that they go through with each other. Another one is sexual fantasizing. They teach them all of that, caressing. And the saddest thing, anal sex, okay? This is junk that is being exposed to our young kids behind our backs out here in these public school systems, okay? And so this is why we gotta wake up. We got to wake up and take charge of our children, you know. And I know it's, you know, it's a situation with a lot of us where, you know, a lot of moms on welfare, and they just can't afford to pay for their kids to go anywhere else, you know. And but, you know, there has to be something that's why we have to turn to Yah, okay, and trust Him and pray to Him to help us with our children so that we can get them out of the mouth of Satan out there in these public school systems, because these Gentile people are the ones that are in control of this stuff, and they are perverted to the hilt. I mean, they are about us. They're reprobate minds, and they're trying to infect our kids with their crazy, stupidity stuff. Okay, masturbation is another one. Dancing, talking, hugging, kissing. These are the things that are being taught to our kids, okay? Talking, let's see, grinding. You know, all of these filthy things, all these things that has no place in our young children's mind, you know? They're introducing these perverted acts to our children, you know? Massage, holding hands, cuddling on the couch. Imagine that, okay? Touching each other's genitals, vaginal intercourse, saying, I like you. These are things. This is part of their curricula out there, you know, in these school systems where they are pushing this stuff amongst our little young kids. And you know, they are first to bring this to our Hebrews. That's why I say when we were in Atlanta, you see, we know a lot of brews out there. And so they concentrate. They got these people out there concentrating on our children, the Hebrew Israelites, okay? Catching them when they're young, introducing all of this perverted stuff into their minds so that as they grow up, oh, man, it ain't no big deal to do this. Now, they figure, you know? And so now we came up here now at this age, and we see this stuff been going on for all of this time. You know what? We about to lose them. We about to lose if we don't stand up and start taking charge to do something. You know, we've been lost a whole generation of children. Okay, so I'll tell you. So this is something that we need to wake up, Israel. Okay, and start fighting, taking charge of our situation. Don't give up and thinking just, well, I don't have no husband. I don't have no wife. Either way it goes. You just don't fall into this this excuses. Giving up, okay? Turn your whole self to Yah. Once you realize this is the kind of craziness that is going on out there in amongst our children, okay? It's time now to turn to Yah, okay? Because when we look at Yah's word, we don't want our kids to be lost. And let me just give you just a couple of words here that Yah is saying, because he knows these things are going on out here. And he says, let me just go to Ezekiel. And I want to just look at chapter 7 and take a quick look, starting with verse 1. It says, and the word of Yah came to me saying, and you, son of man, this is what the Master Yah said to the land of Israel. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Okay? Now, the end is upon you, and I shall send my displeasure against you and judge you according to your ways and repay you for all your abominations. You see? So this is where this stuff comes from. If we neglect our children and then they've been infected, you know, with all of this abominable, perverted sexual type acts that are completely against the commandments of Yah, you see, this is what they're going to be faced with, because unless we get to them and get this information to them, get the truth to them, so that they'll have that opportunity to turn from this evil stop, okay? And that's why we got to work so hard as the elders, the imams, and the grown-ups. We got to get out here. We got a job to do. Don't think it's over for us. We got work to do. And I suggest that we get on the case, get on our duty, okay? Turn back to Yah ourselves, because, see, when you turn to Yah, I don't care how it looks. Nothing is impossible to him, okay, or for him to do for you, okay? When he see you turning back to him, that's what Satan wants you to think. That's why he try to trap you and make you think that you stuck with Uncle Sugar, Uncle Sam. I just got to get my welfare check. If I don't get my food stamps, I'm just in trouble, you know, and all of that stuff, okay? That's junk that you've been tricked into thinking that you can't do any better without it. You know, but I'm here to tell you, you turn to Yah and start seeking him and watch how doors will be open right before your face, before your eyes, okay? He said, and my eye shall not pardon you, nor will I spare, for I repay your ways while your abominations are in your midst, and you shall know that I am Yah. You see? So this is the judgment of Yah that is coming up on our nation, upon our people, if we don't do something quickly so that we can learn how to turn away from this perversion. Us grown folks, we have a duty to our children. We can't just put them out there and let the Gentiles take them and do as they please with our children. We can't do that, because if we do, you see what they're going to do to them. Ain't nothing right about these Gentiles that they're going to do for your kids, okay? I don't care how good it looks, how good their Christianity stuff looks, how good their Christmas and all of this stuff looks. They are not doing anything in the best interest for your children. You yourself are responsible for your children. And you better get on the case, because if you don't, then, you know, in the end, the last day, the judgment, you will probably be met with this. And, you know, what are you going to answer? What are you going to have to say? As I just made, well, I was on welfare and I couldn't do it. I just didn't have no job. All these things, excuses, this is what's going to happen. And you never took the time to turn to Yah, okay? And try to ask him to depend on him, because when it comes down to turning to Yah, that means some changes in your life may have to take place, okay? In order for things to be worked out for you. I mean, you're going to have to understand how to be obedient to his word. You can't be walking around here being rebellious and expecting things to work out for you, just a miracle to just start happening for you out of the blue, out of the sky. You know, thus said the Maker, okay, yeah, a calamity, and only calamity. Look, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. It has awakened against you. Look, it has come. See? So this is what the word is telling us right here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 7. All right? We're getting warnings right now. It's time for us to wake up. And come back. Well, start trusting. Start understanding what it means about faith, okay? And believe it. You got to act on that faith. You can't just sit around and say, "Well, I got faith," and then do nothing. You know, Scripture says, you know, "I'll show you my faith by my works." So you got to move. You got to get up and move. You can't just sit there, okay? The turn has come to you, O inhabitants of the land. The time has come. A day of uproar is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains, okay? And I'm going to skip down to verse 9. It says, and my eye shall not pardon, nor would I spare. I give you according to your ways, while your abominations are in your midst, and you shall know that I am Yah who strikes, okay? So, and we should know this, as you know, especially us grown-ups, you know, those of us who've been following along, who understands Yah's judgment, who have been looking at, seeing how he promised us that we will go back into slavery if we turn away from him, turn to these gods and follow the nation, start doing the things like they do them, you see? And you see what can happen to us, okay? So hallelujah. You can't just ignore this now, all right? We cannot ignore this. What Yah is teaching us through his word, okay? Now, Elder, I'm going to go ahead and let you get ready to come on up so that we can get you can get in on this, because I know Yah has given you some understanding on some of the things that we are trying to relate to our people out here, okay? These are things that we see that what Yah is saying, we know his word is sure, okay? His word is sure. So, Elder, I'm going to let you come on up and let me hear you follow. Come on in here onto this conversation here.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Elder. Toda. Well, our title spoke for itself. Woe to you. Woe to us who do unrighteous acts and praise and honor lies. Okay. Enoch said it was a price for that. In Enoch 99:1, it says, woe to you who do unrighteous acts and praise and honor lies. Listen to the price. He says, you shall perish, and no happy life shall be yours. Not only shall you perish in the end, he's saying you will not have a happy life, happy, blessed life. Your life will not be blessed. You can't have it contrary to public opinion. You cannot have it both ways. That's why in Revelation it says, I word that you were either hot or cold. You know, all the way hot, on fire for Yah, and on fire means obeying him. You know, loving Yah is synonymous with obeying him, obeying his commandments. It says, this is the love of Yah, 1 John 5:3. This is the love of Yah, that we obey. It says, keep in the old King James. That means obey, that we obey his commandments. Where do we obey him? We obey him in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. So this is not a small thing, family. We have been in this culture, and we have been desensitized. We have been desensitized to sin. So we think sin is normal, and we think righteousness, we think to Yah's laws and commandments, we think that's abnormal. How do we think it? We think that's fanatical. If we see someone, observe someone, who abstains and from sin and try to walk a righteous, pious life, we think that's fanatical. That's what we call it. I remember even some church folks, the few church folks that were trying to live right, people used to call them, oh, that's that fanatical person. They're taking it too far. So how have we become desensitized? We're following the nations in our hearts, in our ways, in our culture, in our mindset. Listen what Yah says about that. Now, we've read this scripture quite a few times on this program, but it bears reading again. Jeremiah 10, this could be a foundational scripture for this type of subject, how we have become desensitized to unrighteousness, desensitized to sin. This is a foundational scripture, Jeremiah 10:2. Well, I'll start at 1. Hear ye the word of Yah. Hear ye which the word of Yah speaketh unto you. He's speaking to us, Israel. It says, hear ye the word which Yah speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. It says, thus saith Yah, learn not. He didn't just say learn. He said learn not. That means follow not. Follow not after.
Mm-hmm.
Learn not the way of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen, why are we not to learn the ways of the heathen? For the heathen and their ways, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Now, here's the answer there. Why are we not to follow the way of the heathen? For the customs of the heathen or the ways of the heathen are vain. That means they lead to futility and ruin. They're vain, futile, and ruin. They lead to futility and ruin. And in our case, if you look at eternity, they lead you ultimately away from Yah, away from his kingdom. So it leads you away from inheriting Yah's kingdom. That's why we are not to follow the ways of the heathen. You know how they lead you away from following, inheriting Yah's kingdom? It spells it right out in Corinthians. It says in Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Start at verse 9 and read on down. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah?" That's why we are not to follow the ways of the heathen. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah?" Now, it's going to start off with a big sin, a big sin, a big practice, which many of our people practice and which many of us used to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Shaul says, in times past, we walked in this filth. We walked in this unrighteousness. But now we've become desensitized to it. We think it's good. We think it's cool. We think it makes you a man. Okay? So let me read on. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah? Be not deceived." Because if you think this thing you're doing, following the ways of the heathen and their sinful customs and practices, if you think you can do that and still make it to the kingdom, guess what? You're deceived. That's why it says, "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Did you hear me? Neither fornicators." Let's stop right there, Elder.
Mm-hmm.
What is the world full of today? I mean full. It's full of fornication, illicit sex, unlawful sex. What is unlawful sex? Sex before marriage, sex before the covenant of marriage. We do it. Most of us have all done it. I've done it. I'm not going to speak for Elder or nothing, but I'll just say most of us have done it. We've walked in that way. But when you turn to Yah, follow our Mashiach, Yahshua, you don't live as you did before. It says, "If any man be in Mashiach, he is a new creation." The old things, your old lifestyle, should be behind you. It says, "The old things have passed away. All things become new." You look forward to newness of life. You're walking in newness of life. What's the newness of life? You're walking in his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
We don't practice. We don't continue to practice the customs and ways of the heathen. Let me read on. It says, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom Yah." And listen to this. "And such were some of you," such were some of us in times past, "but ye are washed." Look at your present status. Don't look back. Look at your present status, Israel. "But ye are washed right now. But ye are sanctified." You're set apart. You're set apart for his good work. "But ye are justified in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach by the Spirit of Yah," by his Ruach HaKodesh. Now, why did he put fornication first? Glad you asked. Listen here. The answer is in the same chapter. We're in 1 Corinthians. We're going to answer that. Why did he put fornication first? Listen to this. It says, verse 16, "Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body?" You become one with that fornicator, one with that sin. You're a harlot, they're a harlot. You're both practicing fornication. You are giving yourselves before the covenant of marriage. And Yah says that is a very powerful sin, right? Well, let's let Yah answer that. Let's let his word answer that. It says, "But he that is joined to Yah is one spirit." So conversely, if you join to Yah, you're one spirit with Yah. You remember the scripture says, if you abide in him and his words abide in you, you know, he'll come unto you and he'll sup with you. That's what Yah's Ruach HaKodesh does. He comes in and sup with us. He dwells in us. Because the scriptures make it plain that the spirit of Yah doesn't dwell in temple made with hands. He dwells in our temple. Matter of fact, you're going to see that right at the end of this chapter right here. It says, flee fornication. You should to shun it. Run from it. In all of his ways, don't wait till it gets up to the very act itself. Avoid the thought of fornication. Avoid thinking about fornication. And whatever you do, don't pursue it in books and magazines and online pornography. And even you don't have to go to online pornography. Most of these movies, they always have a scene. They call it a love scene. It's a fornication scene. To further desensitize, why do they always have nudity in movies that have nothing to do with sex? The movie can be a horror picture. The movie can be, it could even be a comedy sometimes. The movie could be a drama. It has nothing. It could be a mystery. It could have nothing to do with sex, but they're going to always have a sex scene. Why do they do that? It's a scheme to desensitize you. To desensitize you. So, why do these gay groups, the LGBTQ, why do they promote homosexuality so much? To make it plain, to desensitize, to make it a norm. So now when you see two men kissing, I'm not saying everybody does it, but now when you see two men kissing on the street, at first it was repugnant years ago. But now people might just turn their head and walk on by. Some people might not even turn their head. You know why? Because our society has been desensitized. Yah says, don't be desensitized for this towards this sin. This sin, we already read, it will keep you from inheriting the kingdom of Yah. So if you're not inheriting the kingdom of Yah, what's the alternative? The lake of fire. You don't have a third choice. Let's read on. It says, flee fornication. It's going to tell you why, and it's going to tell you distinctly why this is different. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Listen closely. Every sin is without the body. It says, but he that committed fornication, it's different, sinneth against his own body. You know why Yah takes that so hard? Because our body is a temple. Remember, he doesn't dwell in temple made with man's hands. Our body is his temple. That's why he takes it so hard when we defile. Now, I'm going to read, let's see if we have time. I'm going to read where mankind got so upset that one of their own was defiled in this way, sexually, that they exacted a horrible revenge upon the perpetrator. So what do you think Yah is going to do? And that's of course, the story of Jacob's daughter Dinah and her brothers. So if they became so enraged that their sister was defiled, how do you think Yah is feeling when we defile his temple? It says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh? That's Yah's spirit, which is in you, which ye have of Yah. Yah gave us his precious spirit, and we're going to go and defile it in such a way? And ye are not your own. Ye were bought with a price. It says, therefore, glorify, that means magnify, esteem Yah in your body. You can't esteem them when you're fornicating, when you're following the way of the heathen. And in your spirit, which are Yah. Elder, Bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read this as quick as I can because it's going to bring it into focus. This is a good illustration how we've been desensitized. Years back, our culture was not desensitized like this. Listen to our culture, how it was. We wasn't practicing on the previous broadcast. That's a westernized concept. Dating is just means screwing around, if you follow me. That's what dating is really about. Oh, it's to get to know the person. It's to get, it's ultimately in a normal dating relationship, it's going to involve fornication. Stop playing with yourself. Stop kidding yourself. Just be real about it. That's what dating is about. That's why you see people brag about dating. Oh, yeah, he's dating her. She's dating him. That means they're doing each other. They're having sex with each other. Look at a time when our people were not desensitized because they knew the price of sinning in that way. They knew the consequences. I'm reading out of Genesis. Genesis. And I'm going to read it as quick as I can. Listen closely. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shishim, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her. That means he took her and had his way with her sexually. And defiled her. Don't miss that. Defiled her. What do fornication do? It defiles you. It defiles both parties. If you have an orgy, it defiles all parties. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel. He lusted the damsel. That's what he did. Kindly unto the damsel. How are you going to rape somebody and then speak kindly? This is all kind of contradictions. It says, and Shishim, and when I say contradictions, I don't mean the Bible is contradicting itself. I mean this character, this Shishim character is contradicting himself. And Shishim spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. Oh, now you want to wife the one that you raped. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shishim, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved. They didn't take it lightly. They weren't desensitized toward the sin of fornication. And they were very wroth. Why? Because he had wrought folly in Israel in line with Jacob's daughter fornicating. Now, today, we could just say, oh, man, he was dating our sister, man. You know, it ain't no big deal. They were dating. You know, she dating him, he dating her. Yeah. They didn't play that back then. Again, that's not our culture. That's a Euro culture. That's a westernized culture. And it tells us not to learn the ways. Don't follow their ways. These brothers were upset. So they wrought folly in Israel in line with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And I love the way these brothers think. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I bet he do. I pray you, give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Well, and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein. Oh, they're trying to be all nice after they raped the daughter. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Now, I just want to stop there for a second. You see, Elder, the son, the rapist, the son, Shechem, and Hamor, the father, they didn't think this was a big deal. See, that's the nation. That's where it says don't learn the way of the nation, the heathen. See, the westernized culture today, they don't think fornication is a big deal. You know, they might lay with your daughter and say, hey, elder, I want to marry your daughter after he's fornicated and defiled her body. They don't think it's a big deal. See, but these righteous brothers, they said, no, this is a big deal. No, we're not going to look at this as a small thing. It says, ask me never so much dowry and gift. That means he'll give them all that he wants. Just give them the daughter. And I will give according as ye say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife. And the son of Jacob, and the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he hath defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, but that were a reproach unto us. But in this we will consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters unto us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, listen, these men are peaceful with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein, in other words, let them take our culture. See, that's what they're saying. Let us intermingle cultures. Strictly against what Jeremiah 10 is saying. And they're saying, yes, let's blend cultures. It says, only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised, as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem, his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city. And every male was circumcised, all that went out the gate of the city. Almost done here. And it came to pass on the third day. Here we go. See, this is when righteous people don't take a wicked lifestyle lightly, like we do today. Now, these are human beings that's going to exact this type of revenge. What do you think Yah will do for defiling his temple? He says, okay, so the third day, it went out into the gate of the city. Let me read that back again. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, hearkened to all that went out of the gate of the city. And every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of the city, of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brother, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. My goodness. So that's exacting revenge. And they slew Hamor, that's the father, and Shechem, that rapist, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah. They're not going to let their daughter marry that defiled nation. And they took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city, because they had, listen, defiled their city. Do we look at fornication as defiling ourselves now? They took their sheep, their oxen, and their asses, and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive, and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, listen what they said. Should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? Okay, that's all I'm going to read there. Look how mankind took it.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned all through that there was defiled. He treated her like a harlot. That's how our minds, our ancestors' mindsets was before we were defiled, before we were desensitized. And you know why we're desensitized? Because we're engaging. We've taken, we've learned, we followed after the ways of the heathen culture in direct defiance against Yah's word in Jeremiah 10. And we see the we see the consequences. He says, be not deceived. You're not going to inherit the kingdom. We're going to build this case more. We're going to talk about dating. And I know a lot of you don't want to hear anything about it because you're totally engulfed in this culture. You love the fornication. You love you could have a different woman every week, some of you every night. And I'm not going to leave the women out. You love that you could have a different man whenever you want him, whenever your body is calling. And R. Kelly say your body's calling. Whenever your body's calling, you could just dial somebody up, a booty call. You love it. You become totally engulfed in it. You've learned the way of the heathen, but you know the price. And even now, that the ultimate price is you're going to have eternal separation from Yah. But even now, you don't eat. You're desensitized. You don't even mind what you're doing. In the current tense, you are defiling your temple. But you say you love Yah, and you're defiling your temple. Look how these brothers took it. How do you think your heavenly Father is going to take it? Don't be deceived, family. Don't be deceived. As Enoch say, there's a price for this. As we see, there's a price. These men took a price out. What do you think Yah is going to do? Elder, I know we only have a few minutes. I'm going to turn it back into you. Like I say, we're going to develop this more. Our people is going to have to get out of this following the ways of the heathen, and it starts with this fornication. They are totally desensitized. Our young men and young women. The young women back in the day used to be more pious. They used to be more, humble in this area, more obedient towards Yah's word. It was the men who wanted to push the issue. Now you can't tell the difference. The women are initiating the act a lot of the times. And they think they won't have a price to pay. Elder, I know you want to jump in here. Go ahead. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I tell you, Elijah, just, checking out, listening to you and the things that you're saying. And we know they're true because we see it, especially those of us that have grown up and that are out here in the world. We see what's going on. We're not blind to it. And so you're absolutely right. Elder, what I have here, we do have somebody on the line that may want to come up and just speak for a minute. This is a sister here, and what I want to do is see if she's ready to come up. She's going to talk about a little bit of the things that I was discussing when I first came on, about how things are going on out there in these school systems without children behind the parents' backs, So that's what I want to see if she's ready. 336, if you're ready, I'm going to bring you on. Okay, just here right now. All right, 336, go ahead.
Yes, good evening. This is Sister Sharon. Good evening to the elders. And no, I was just speaking on what you all, I was wanted to speak on what you all were saying about the teachers and how they are influencing our children and so forth. And, I can recall back here some years ago when they, made the law where our kids, even as minors, they did not have to have their parents, permission anymore to get birth control. They can just go to the health department and, which I thought it was ridiculous, they can just go on it. You know, I remember, I think I heard a child one time, "Mom, I don't have to get your permission. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to purchase the birth control. I can go to the health department, get them, pick them up anytime I want to." So we just, you know, as parents, like you said, we got to be very powerful and aware and, you know, try to, you know, get our children's attention and not let them go astray and so forth. So I just wanted to, you know, just throw that out and let people be aware, for even for those who might not be aware that, you know, these kids have, you know, permission from whoever where they can go and pick up birth control and do whatever they want to do, you know. So anyway, I just, you know, and just wanted to tell you all, I, you know, how I've enjoyed and appreciate, you know, the word, and you all are doing such a great job.
Right.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's my beautiful mother-in-law, Elder. How you doing, Mom?
I'm fine.
Yeah, we really enjoyed your input. You know what, Elder? I actually had an article I was going to read. It could address what Sister Sharon just said about, you know, the culture of now, you know, the young people now could go out and get their own birth control. They don't have to tell the parents and everything. Mm-hmm. You see how the Planned Parenthood has stuck in there, and they drew a wedge between the parent, the parental guidance, and the child, and now the Planned Parenthood say, "You don't have to tell the parent. I'm your parent. Just whatever you need done. You need some condoms. You need some birth control pills. Do you want an abortion? Go ahead and have sex. You don't have to have a baby. After you get pregnant, just come back to me. You can do all these things. Your mom and dad don't need to know anything about it." They've driven a wedge between it. And see, that's part of desensitizing a child. And a child looks and say, "Oh, that's good. Now I could partake in the culture of the heathen. They're having sex in the eighth and ninth grade. I could do it too now, and my parents don't have to have nothing about it. You know, even if you have a righteous parent, they don't have to know nothing about it." I was going to read this article, but we're gonna pass that on to next week. Go ahead, Elder. I'll let you respond too.
Okay. Well, absolutely, because I see exactly what you're saying. You know, because even the children had gotten to the point where, you know, they'll turn around and tell you in your own, in the house where you at with them at, they'll turn around and tell you, "If you hit me, I call the police on you," you know? I mean, everything started changing. They started setting the kids against their own children. The kids against their own parents. That's what they started doing. And they were very pretty effective with doing it too, you know, with some of them anyway. I mean, you know, we took control of our kids. we watched them, you know, we watched them going on. And so it did not, it tried though. I mean, they tried us. We were tried. But, you know, we were parents. I mean, we weren't just somebody that was in and out. You know what I mean? And so we held our ground, and therefore we were able to get them grown enough to eventually move on out on their own, you see. But while they were in our house, and today right now, they do appreciate the fact that we were strong and the things that we taught them, you see. We get them Facebooking us, you know, still right now, bragging about what a good parent that we were to them. Because if we wasn't, they wouldn't have been able to do the things that they are doing now. You see, they're able to run their own business, raise their own children without bringing them back home. I mean, it's just been, you know, something that we see how things work. But you see, the reason it worked that way, because we also had some pretty strong parents. You know,
that's right.
And, it didn't matter how many of us, you know, it was, in fact, it was about 13 of us in our family. None of us ever dared to go against our parents for anything.
you see. And so we were brought up the way we were supposed to be raised, and therefore when we grew older, we did not depart from it, and so we just passed it on down. So that's why we got to be strong now as parents with these children, regardless of what's going on, what these demons are trying to do to us, to try to turn them against us and so forth. That's why it's so important for us to recognize, turn to Yah, learn how to be faithful and believe what Yah says. And if you can do that, it, again, like I said earlier, Yah, there's nothing too hard for Yah, you see? In fact, it tells us right here, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, what does it say? He said, look, the hand of Yah has not become too short to save, nor his ear too heavy to hear. You see me? So we got to believe that, you know, believe that. So therefore, no matter what our condition is, you know, welfare, whatever we own, whatever's going on, turn to Yah. You know, we know for a fact that we've got a Savior, somebody that can pull us out of this condition. So hallelujah. So at this time, you know, Elder, it is 8 o'clock now, so it's up to you. We could go on, or we could just, you know, call it a night and get back, you know, on next week and continue this discussion, so that we can just keep on making sure we keep our people aware, awakened, so that they can start realizing and thinking about this thing, so that you know, they can realize that they don't have, it's not hopeless, you know, and that's the key.
Okay,
not
well,
hopeless.
Here's what I'm thinking, Elder. I would love to get into this article, but I don't want to just read it and not have time to expound on it, you know, to break it down. So maybe we could introduce this in next week's show. So it's going to talk. It's going to back up. It's going to back up our claims that dating, as we know it today, is not. It was not in our culture. This is a European concept. All of this premarital sex, dating, going from girlfriend to boyfriend to girl, all that stuff is of the heathens. And this scripture, I mean, this this article, it talks about our ancient culture. And it specifically talks about the African culture, the Igbos. And we know the Igbos were the Hebrews.
Hebrews,
So it's going to state that the Igbo culture did not allow premarital dating, premarital sex. So we want to get into that. I want to read that next week, if it's okay with you, Elder, and we could go ahead and kick it off from there.
Okay, fine. Great. Okay, well, with that being said, I want to thank the listeners who've been, and Sister Sharon, thank you for coming on. And,
thanks for joining us, Mom.
Yeah.
You're welcome, always. Thank you.
All right. Okay, all right. So this is, we are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite nation, and, of course, we will be back again on next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be sure and tune in, and, again, if you have a comment or anything like that, our phone number that you can always call is 657-383-1495. And again, we'll see a question mark show up here in the room, and we will be glad to bring you on in so that we can hear your comment and so forth, okay? So hallelujah. So Elder, what we're going to do is go ahead and close it out with a beautiful song. And I believe what I want to here at this time, with the good things that we've heard you speak about, we're going to hear a beautiful song about the daughters of Zion. All right. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
All right.
Shalom, Elder.
All right.
Okay, we'll see you again.
Shalom. Okay. Shalom.